If you started out with the atoms far apart, so you imagine you have atoms far apart, and you've got an atomic orbital of an atom, that atomic orbital can contain two electrons. As you bring the atoms closer together, the number of electrons that can be held by the solution doesn't change. So when the atoms are far apart, you've got 2n electrons that can be held. As you bring them together, you still have something that can hold 2n electrons. So the final, the band that you calculate can hold 2n electrons. If I have n atoms in a crystal, and there's only one atom in the basis, then there's n translational symmetries. I can move them over. And for every one of these translational symmetries, I can find a k value. So if I have a crystal of finite size with periodic boundary conditions, then there are only the k's that match those boundary conditions are allowed, and there will be as many k values as there are atoms in the crystal. So the k values, the allowed k values, are in one-to-one correspondence with these eigenvalues of the translation operator. And in the end, you start out with n atomic orbitals that can each take 2 electrons, and when it becomes a solid, a crystal, then you get n block weight solutions, each of them labeled by one of these nk, and each of these solutions can take 2 electrons, one with spin up and one with spin down. So there's a conservation of electron solutions in the system when the atoms come closer and closer together. And when you draw a band diagram like this, if somebody says that there are 3 electrons per primitive unit cell, I know that this band is filled and this band is half filled, because this band can take 2 electrons and this band can take 2 electrons. So if there are 3 electrons per primitive unit cell, then the Fermi energy must be here, halfway through this band. So this is an important thing to remember, that you can always put 2 electrons per band